Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show for this Tuesday morning, the 23rd of January. Very shortly, we'll be joined by Garda Sean Sweeney. We're going to have the very latest appeals and information for you directly from An Garda Síochána Síochána. You can hear it first here on Highland Radio, of course. That's on the way, so stay tuned for that. Keep us updated with anything that you think we need to be relating to our listeners out there as well. Hi, Greg. There's a Telegraph pole completely snapped at the base on the Carn Donagh to Mavill Road. It's standing upright, but leaning against the ditch and totally out of the ground, about 2 minutes outside Carn Donagh on the right-hand side as you drive towards Mavill. It's located in a dangerous bend just past an old stone shed that's had its roof blown off. So be careful on the approach there. Please tell people using Dundeal or any selling site to be very careful. Someone hacked into my account and was using my account to sell a fire stick and golf clubs. They were requesting PayPal payments. Okay. There's no power on in Carrigan's village yet, I'm told. And indeed, there's 8,000 premises, which doesn't tell the full story. That's premises, that's not people. So there's tens of thousands of people without power out there. Greg, about electricity outage, I think we shouldn't be reliant on outages. We need to keep an open fire, one without a back boiler, so we can use it and have a warm room in the house and candles or an oil lamp and a gas hob, so we don't have to be dependent on electric. If, unfortunately, our government and Eamon Ryan wants to get rid of an open fire, but we cannot let them dictate to us what to do. The road between Rathmullen and Buncranagh is severely flooded. Please avoid. That came in at 10:15. Just wondering, what was the last secret sound? As I missed what it was. The one running over Christmas, New Year. We'll pick a Christmas. I think it was running over two of them. It was when you go into a restaurant or what have you and you order toast, it comes with butter and sometimes it comes with a little white thing of jam or marmalade and you peel the lid off to access the little reservoir of jam or marmalade and it was pulling that lid off. Greg, get someone from air on phone lines, Dan. Yet we're chasing up all the utilities to try and get information for you. And when we have an air or one of the main suppliers that are down, unfortunately, there's a lot of piggyback networks. I think GOMO is on air, for an example. So if air's down, GOMO's down, and there's a few others. Hi, Greg. In relation to red warnings, I thought it was late notice from Metairn. If a person didn't have social media, they might not be aware of it. Too late. Social media highlighted the warning. Good if red warning is called, which is highest warning in Ireland. Surely they could add as a breaking news to run along TV programmes. Also, maybe time we now install lightning rods to new homes like they do in other countries. I don't know what you access. I thought there was fair warning of the severity of Storm Isha. But listen, I respect your point of view as well. I think that the problem is that we have yellow warnings all of the time and the odd orange warning. And this is a point I was actually trying to make on social media, that we get yellow and orange warnings all the time. And it is a little bit of a boy cries wolf. And then the next step up is red. And we see this destruction right across the country in terms of our infrastructure and what have you. I'm not saying they shouldn't issue yellow warnings when they do, but you know, these colours like yellow, it's going to be rainy, but it is always rainy. Do you know what I mean? Or orange, it's going to be a bit more rainy, but that might lead to flooding. And then there's this massive leap to red. I don't know if there's a better way of because it, as I say, I was trying to, as much as I feel it kind of is a little bit my responsibility to try and let people know, no, this red warning, this is going to be a biggie here. So please really heed that. Not that anyone needs me to tell that, but you know, sometimes we can be a little bit warning fatigued, if that makes sense. Good morning, Greg. Let's all reflect on how these storms and power outages are impacting the country. And without electricity, for those who are solely dependent on electricity, should have outages be prolonged? What about heat? For those fortunate have kept their open fire, they'll realise how vital it is to retain our open fires or stoves. Yeah, Eamon Ryan and his cohort dictating to us in rural Ireland to change to electricity. So I hope these storms will make people think. Morning, Greg and team. I was not able to listen to you yesterday as my electricity was off. I see the big tree toppled at St. Eunan's. Have the club said yet what their plans are? I hope it won't just be chopped into firewood. Surely it could be carved into some sort of sculpture or a wee bench. I'm not sure how much of it is left to make a sculpture. It seemed to have been broken right down to the sort of the bit that's above terra firma. And it is contemporary enough history there. I didn't get a chance to ask John because the 10 o'clock news was bearing down on me, but it's a good question. And we'll find out over the course of the next wee while. Well, we have two government TDs who should have the power and influence to get this GP surgery survey undertaken in Inishowen on the health effects of defective concrete, respiratory illness, mental health. If they were any good, they'd have resigned their seats and cause a by-election on Mica anyway, so I'm wasting my time now. A lot of people still refer to the defective concrete crisis as Mica, which I understand that, and I try and interchange it so that I know some people it annoys when it's just referred to as Mica, because obviously we've learnt now it's a much bigger problem than Mica, but that's just become the tag name and it is what it is. Yeah, I was mentioning just before nine there, and this is maybe where this caller is coming from, that there's a study that was done through GP services down in Dublin about accommodation that needs to be fixed for the people down there. It's not either or, but they're twice as likely to suffer with respiratory illness, asthma and what have you because of the dampness, the wetness, the dampness, the same thing, isn't it? The black mould and the coldness in the properties. But that's exactly what hundreds and hundreds of people are experiencing across Donegal. And I've heard anecdotally that people are having to get inhalers and what have you, children with no history of asthma and no sort of hereditary situation that are now have respiratory problems. And as I said in the first hour as well, spoke to a health expert, a respiratory lung expert last year who said, you know, it's very dangerous. It shouldn't be the case. So maybe that's a tack that we need to start pushing even more than we already have been. And I know there's been an awful lot of work done on this, but what is the situation? Is there a study that can be done? Is there a GP out there that might lend their voice? They might know anecdotally people that are coming into the surgery and they might ask them, you know, well, what's your environment like? Maybe to just get some sense from someone other than me, i.e. a professional, as to the impact these homes are having on people's health. Maybe that will help to push things along. We know, but do you get where I'm coming from? That we can sort of say, well, this person said that, or that's what their belief is, and so on and so forth. Okay. Right. Coming up after the news, we've got information on thefts from cars in Convoy and Rafo. Attempted thefts of cars from cars in Castlefin. Burglaries in Coldaff, criminal damage in Falkara, the Shaw Road, Downing's sheep gone missing there, and loads of other information. That's coming directly from Ungada Síochána after we take this break. Stay right where you are.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show at 23 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 23rd of January. It is time, as the sting would have indicated, for Community Garda information. And we're joined in studio today by Garda Sean Sweeney from the Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, thanks so much for calling in.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Good. We'll crack straight on. It's a busy one. Two thefts from cars to begin with. We'll start in Convoy, Sean.
Yeah, that's in Ballybone Convoy in the early hours of Saturday, the 20th of January, between midnight and 6 a.m. Car parked overnight in the driveway. Entry was gained. It had been unlocked. A sum of cash and a purse containing cards was stolen. So appeal to anybody who observed suspicious activity or vehicles in the area, may contact Letterkenny 9167100 or the confidential line 1800 666 111.
And onto Convoy now, a similar crime.
Yeah, again, this is Sunday, 21st of January, between midnight and 9:30 a.m. The Common and Rafo. A handbag, a purse, sum of cash, and a number of shopping vouchers were stolen. No damage caused to the van. Again, we're appealing for unusual activity of vehicles overnight Saturday or into Sunday morning. Please contact Letterkenny.
And also, too, a warning for people in the Castlefin area, too. Some information coming from there.
Yeah, a number of residents in the Cecil Park in Castlefin. Recently, there were recent attempts from testing the vehicles. All the vehicles were unlocked and entries believed to be gained. Again, this is between midnight and 6 a.m. on Saturday, the 20th of January. Nothing was stolen from these vehicles. Appeal to anybody, again, suspicious vehicles or persons in the area of Friday night, Saturday morning, to contact Letterkenny.
This is a similar type of crime across a certain geographical area. I mean, do we have to be conscious that maybe people are going out and seeing this as a soft touch, maybe, and actively targeting vehicles in this way?
That's what it appears to be at the moment, yeah. So, look, we're appealing to residents in the surrounding areas there. If any of their vehicles have been tampered, please report it to us, because if we know, we can link them all together and do something about it. So a number of owners we believe, haven't contacted you. So we're asking, if you, if this has happened to you, please contact Gardaí and Letterkenny. Like these attempts and thefts took place in Castlefin, Rafoe and Convoy. It's under the cover of darkness. So we're asking people, make sure your cars are locked at all times. Don't leave them unattended, even if they're parked at home or in a public place, and try to park in a well-lit area if possible.
Yeah, OK. Don't leave anything in the car and keep it locked. I know, and sometimes I think, Sean, because we are just human, we think once the vehicle's outside the house that in some way there's this cloak of security that extends from the house to the car but or the van, but that's clearly not the case. OK, we'll be extra vigilant going forward. If you believe your car was tampered with at any stage, but particularly, I suppose, over the 20th, 21st, make sure to contact Gardaí because that can help them. In getting information. And do you know there's great value to these? There's different doorbells, but these doorbells with videos on, they trigger and record if they see an activity. They're very, very useful, not just for the homeowner, but I'm sure for the Gardaí down the line as well. Looking for witnesses now in relation to an incident in Mulville, Sean.
Yeah, this is the Breda Glen Mulville. This is in the early hours of Sunday, the 21st of January. At approximately 1:10 a.m. that day, two men entered a farmyard. They were checking farmyard buildings. They were disturbed and immediately left in the area. Nothing was stolen. But our appeal is for anybody who travelled in that area between 1:45 and 1 a.m. on that night, who has dash cam footage, please make it available. Again, suspicious activity or vehicles, we ask people to make contact with us. We're particularly interested in sightings on dash cam footage of a white style transit van that may have been in the area. If you can contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 07493-205-40. Again, the confidential line is 1800-666-111.
All right, OK. So a white van travelling in that area between, between any times at all, but midnight, 2 a.m. Gardaí, very interested in any information you might have. Now, your colleagues in Buncrana investigating a burglary in Coldaff.
Yeah, this occurred at Dunross, Coldaff, between 7 p.m. on Saturday the 20th, January, and 2 p.m. on Sunday the 21st. So entries gained a shed, the lock was forced and a quantity of tools were stolen, namely Makita, a biscuit joiner, which is green and black in colour, an impact driver, also green and black, a number of batteries, a charger, and a Makita toolbox, and a drill, which is also green and black. Again, if anybody observed any suspicious activity in the area, if they can assist with any relevant information, please contact Buncrana on 205-40.
And presumably that includes this type of stuff, quite distinctive, being sold on any, you know, Facebook marketplace or anywhere else that sells stuff like that too. I mean, you can do your bit keeping an eye out in those spots as well.
Exactly.
I mean, it could well be being sold legitimately, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. The Gardaí can investigate that, I'm sure. Criminal damage in Fulcara now.
Yeah, this happened at Ray and Fulcara in the early hours of Monday, the 22nd of January, approximately 2 a.m. to 2:20 a.m. The number of windows of the house were smashed and damage caused to a couple of vehicles at the property. A man was observed causing damage, but he had his head covered. So we appeal to anybody who's in the area, again, dash cam footage, make it available to Gardaí, or any information, contact Gardaí Milford on 915-3060.
And just to recap too, by the way, the Gardaí don't expect you to download the footage, to cut it and whatever. If you believe it caught something, you make it available to them. They download it and process it. So it's very easy for the dash cam. It's not a nightmare being created for you. They just access the data and then use it as part of their investigation. Okay, right. The Shaw Road now in Buncrana.
Yeah, this is an incident of criminal damage by fire. The Shaw Road, this occurred at the Leisure Centre on the Shaw Road, Buncrana, Thursday the 18th of January, approximately 6:10 p.m. and 6:20 p.m. So four males, three youths and one man were seen enter the building and left a short time later via the Alia Road in the direction of the Railway Road. The window being broken, the front door to gain entry, and a number of items were set alight in the pool. The fire was small and didn't get out of hands thanks to the fire service. So we appeal to anybody who travel in the areas of the Shaw Road, Alia Road and Railway Road between 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. That's on Thursday the 18th of January, who has dash cam footage to make it available. Some CCTV has been downloaded and it's been examined at present. So we ask anybody who saw these males on foot or has any information, please contact Buncrana on 932-0540.
Yeah, and this is a really small time frame as well. Thursday the 18th of January, 6:10 to 6:20, but Gardaí interested in 6 p.m. to 6:30. Three youths and what appeared to be an adult male in that area. It should jump out to people. Now, I know the investigation is ongoing, but any further information, I'm sure, will be really, really useful.
Absolutely.
Okay, as I say, that's really quite specific stuff. Right, now, Downing's sheep missing.
Yeah. There's a theft of 6 inland poly ewes from the glebe area of Downing's. This is between 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the 10th of January, and 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, the 11th. The ewes have a green tag on the shoulder and an orange keel mark. If anybody has any information in relation to this theft, please contact Mulford on 53060.
Rightio. Now, we're talking about property being stolen and what have you. And Gardaí do, you know, as part of investigations, do recover stolen property. And often the challenge can be then getting that property back to its owner. And having machinery and your stuff marked, very, very useful. Your colleagues in Ballybuffet, they're holding a property marking event soon, aren't they?
That's right, Greg. On Monday, January the 29th, at the Martin Stone Order, it's between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. The property marking machine can be used on a number of surfaces, including metal, carbon fibre, wood and plastic. It uses a pattern of dots and makes it highly distinguishable. And like, as you said, if we come into some properties, easy to return to the owner then. This would be a good opportunity to permanently mark your trailers, etc., with your air code. And please ensure you have the correct air code. You'd be surprised.
Oh, unless you use mine, and then I'll just end up with a load of trailers and power tools. Okay. Right, now, the ongoing recruitment campaign continues. As I say, it's ongoing. And there's an information evening taking place in Letterkenny. Is that right, or is it an information day?
Yeah, that's right. Letterkenny Shopping Centre, Wednesday the 24th of January, between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. It's in relation to the latest recruitment campaign. So we're happy to answer any questions you have. There'll be several trainee Garda there. So anybody who wants to ask them about the current training process, if any questions or about it, information we also found at www.garda.ie, or you can call the station if you have any queries. The closing date, the time for applications, is February the 8th at 3 p.m. and you can apply on publicjobs.ie.
Yep, and there's more information there, and there's videos of the on the Garda website as well or different places of what, say, for instance, the physical element of it entails. And all this is in the context of people now 35 to 50 being able to apply to become members of An Garda Síochána. Right, to a couple of questions, and it kind of relates to this one. Lots of people maybe have convictions in their past and they might be concerned. Would that hinder their application to An Garda Síochána? What's the situation there, Sean, a listener wants to know?
Yeah, look, if you have a conviction, yes, you can apply for the Gardaí. Each application is dealt with on a case-by-case basis. Factors taken into consideration would be the length of time since your conviction, the seriousness of the conviction, and the amount of convictions you have.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Another listener says, I was recently a witness to an incident, but I don't want to come forward to give evidence as it may result in sort of bounce back issues for my family. Can I give details totally confidentially without ever being forced to give evidence in court? If I refuse then to give public evidence, is there a punishment? Because the person is torn between speaking up and saying nothing. And I think this comes up quite a bit, Sean, so interesting to get your answer here.
Yeah, look, if you do make a witness statement, you can be required to give evidence in relation to it. The option, if you want to give information anonymously, there's a Garda confidential line, and the number for that is 1800 666 111. You call, you leave a voice message on the answering machine, and in doing so, you're passing on the relevant information, but it's totally anonymous.
And I think there's maybe not a confusion, but different things here, because there are certain things. If you make an accusation or you witness something, for a successful conviction to happen, particularly if you're the only person that have witnessed it, well, then obviously, you know, your witness testimony would be very critical in that. But in terms of passing on info that might be a part of a jigsaw to an ongoing investigation, that's where the, and if you don't want to get dragged into that, not that the guards would, but that's the fear people might have, that's where the confidential line comes in. You leave it and that's it.
Exactly.
Anon. Yeah. Right, you came up through the Polestar roundabout, didn't you?
I did.
A bunk round a manor, you wouldn't be that used to roundabouts, would you?
I sometimes go straight over them.
So a listener came in, you'll have a green light on the roundabout to go, and then you get a red light. So in other words, there's lights, this is what's different now, there's lights sort of around the roundabout. Do you have to stop in the middle of the road? Other cars come then and the road is blocked.
Yeah, well, the signals the posts are on about share green time across four arms. So, and this is based on the volume of traffic at the arm at any time. So you may require to stop at traffic lights at various points as you travel on or off the roundabout. So if you may feel you come to stop, you're blocking traffic, but you're not, so long as you're in the correct lane. So we advise motorists, familiarise yourselves with the layout of the roundabout and don't feel anxious about using it. The important thing is just obey the traffic signal. So if you're in the correct lane and you're following the lights, that's all you can do.
And I think the lights do account for people sitting on the roundabout.
They do.
If you know what I mean. Now, there's always going to be a case whereby, you know, three vehicles, you know, two of them might be long and the back end of one might be obstructing a little bit, but that is going to happen, and as I say, it does account for it being in the right lane. I think a lot of people still say, coming in the road you did in off the four lanes and then heading out the remote road, they still tend, some people, to favour the inside lane there.
Yes.
Whereas as they come around that roundabout, they should be sort of easing towards their left to be on the outside lane there.
Yes.
So that's, right. I think, sometimes where confusion can come from. But listen, everyone's still getting used to it, Sean.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your time as always. That was a busy one. A big thanks to Garda Sean Swinney from the Buncrana Garda Station. That's Community Garda information. There's a lot of information in there as well. It'll be broken down, of course, across our news bulletin. You can listen to it in its entirety again on our podcast, rewatch it on our Facebook page later, and on Garda Síochána's Facebook page a little later. And it will be back live with you next Tuesday after the 10 o'clock news. And a very good morning, and thanks to your comments to Rosemary, Marie, Breed, Kathy, Elizabeth, Annie, Beth, Charlie, Stevie, Michael, Dolores, Marie. They're among the hundreds of you watching across our social medias. It's great to have you on board. And we are here too to pass on any information, cover any issues important to you. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts 00353 86 60 25000. Bert Bingo is cancelled tonight. Kathleen Grant and Bert was on to let us know. Is there a burst pipe in the Remelton area? We've no water here. I'm not sure with the specific problem in the Remelton area. I do know some of the water supply is dependent on an electricity supply, unless that's part of the problem. But if we find anything out, we'll let you know. Please pass along thanks to the ambulance service who drove through snow and ice on Friday to take me to casualty. We take this service for granted. They had to walk a quarter of a mile to get to me. My house is not easy to get to. The crew were both brilliant. They don't get enough thanks. Thank you also to the taxi man who drove me home on Saturday. And I'm glad you're home and I hope you're feeling better. But yes, that's amazing. Above and beyond, isn't it, to walk a quarter of a mile to get to the property to see to that person. We are all thinking of the people whose houses were hit by lightning. We take everything for granted. Well, Debbie Nesbitt is with me now. Debbie, how are you keeping? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yes.
Okay. Your house.
Just managing.
Yeah, I'm sure, Debbie. Your house, which you owned, and your neighbour talked of how lovely a house it is, it was struck by lightning, and the house is pretty much devastated, Debbie, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty much ruined. Yeah, it was basically, I was in the house yesterday. I work from home, but, you know, we didn't have any electricity until lunchtime, and the kids were off school because of no electricity. And then when the electricity did come back on, I had no Wi-Fi. So we weren't really working. I was in cooking, and I think I can only say it was like a bomb hit the roof, and like it shook the whole house. I went outside to see what had happened, and already the roof was on fire. I could see smoke and flames and slates flying off the house. And it was just like a nightmare. I just, you know, straight away got the kids out and phoned for the fire service.
And as soon as the lightning struck, it obviously ignited the flame. It was instantaneous. You heard this bang like a bomb going off, as you described. You go outside and already your roof is on fire.
Already it was on fire. The fire alarms were going off inside the house. I'd say, you know, I could smell smoke straight away nearly. I went upstairs and then into my bedroom. We actually have stairs going up into, you know, the attic space. It's sort of converted into a mezzanine and, you know, en suites and stuff. And I could see flames up there already. And I thought, oh my God, like, we just need to get some stuff out. I couldn't think. I just needed to get the kids out. I have like three children, and you know, they're good age. They're 9, 13 and 15. So I just wanted to get them outside. So I got them out again. I think I might have phoned 999 a second time. But then my neighbour, Cass McDade, he was maybe first in the scene, and he told me to calm down and think, and what did I need to get out of the house? Mm. So I started to think, you know, passports. I've got pictures of the kids when they were 6 months old, taken professionally, that are up in the living room. You know, I took those down. Family photographs. I just started to get things that were important to us as a family, I guess.
I mean, in that moment, saving, knowing that really you're just saving what you can save, and watching your home, which is clear you're very proud of, Debbie, going up in flames. I can't imagine what that must be like. Firstly, to go and retrieve what you can, but secondly, to stand there. And I know your kids are a bit old now, and to some extent, that makes it more difficult for them because they can sort of, they have the emotions of what's happening. I can't imagine what that must have been like for you, Debbie.
Oh, it was just heartbreaking. It was just, I can't describe it. It was just heartbreaking. You know, when the fire brigade landed from Derry, they were the first on the scene. Like, they got in, but really, I couldn't see much action. I guess, you know, they were looking for a fire hydrant. They couldn't find that. I thought there could be one down at the Clonlea Co-op or Innisfree. I had no idea. Everybody was looking for a fire hydrant. They say they have a map of them in Northern Ireland, but they don't have any map of where they're located in the Republic of Ireland, so they didn't know. So to me, I felt that there was little action. I just seen my house burning down. But, you know, I do know they were in there working at it as well, and they explained to me, you know, there's health and safety reasons and everybody has to stay safe. And then later on, it was structural issues with the girder holding up the roof. You know, it was fire damaged and unsteady. So obviously it was the safety of the fire service was paramount. But to me, I just stood there basically all afternoon and watched my house more or less burn to the bison slabs. And then what's on the ground floor is gone. It's devastated. Like, it's all water damaged. It's gone.
Yeah. And I
have like the clothes on my back from yesterday. I've got a coat from the neighbour. My neighbours were very good. Now, I have to say, a lot of the neighbours came, you know, Gary and Paul and Finn and Martin and Dominic, and they all came and were asking me what do they need out? I couldn't think, you know, I couldn't think.
No, of course. And how could you? And it's not just the pride in the property as well. It's all the memories and everything else that's intertwined, and the fear of what's next.
Like the two of us work, you know, full time. Like, I actually work, you know, a few different things. Mm. You know, a lot of work has went in, you know, your house is your pride and joy. A lot of work has went into that. It's a family home. I moved into that house 2 weeks before my first child was born. Yeah. It's just gone.
I'm so sorry, Debbie. And now the work starts in terms of all wranglings with dealings with insurance companies and all that to come. I mean, obviously there's 5 years now. Have you managed to think about where you're going to live? The house is completely unoccupiable, obviously.
It is. I don't know. I came to my mother's house last night, but we can't live here forever. Mm. You know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't thought about that, to be honest with you, Greg. I haven't thought about that.
No problem, Debbie. Listen, I mean, obviously, again, thankfully, no one is injured. God knows if this had happened at night or something like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that being that, you still have watched your house go up in flames, and it's a massive inconvenience. And I do know there's some comfort from no one being injured, but I also understand that it's still a major, major thing. This is a huge event for you and your family, Debbie. And as you know, the community are there, and they were there, and they will be there. And we just hope that I've spoken to lots of people who've been affected by fires, and in time they get the house or the property back, and they can look back in a different way. But for now, you're living right through the middle of it, Debbie, and it's very hard, I presume, to see sort of the light at the end of the tunnel at this point.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. My middle child's Zach, he's 13, he's a severe haemophiliac. I was just thinking, like, get his medication out, get that out. I just couldn't think straight. I really don't know what I'm going to do.
All right, Debbie, listen, I won't delay you any longer. Listen,
but yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the neighbours who came along and helped yesterday. You know, I don't even know what sort of shape I was in, but yeah, thanks to the neighbours for helping and helping clear some of the stuff out of the house.
Okay,
the firefighters and everybody, it was, you know, yeah, everybody really pulled together for me yesterday.
All right, Debbie, listen, fair play to you. Thanks so much and best wishes going forward in this what's going to be a difficult period of time. Thanks. That's Debbie Nesbitt there, whose house, as you heard there, was destroyed in Newton there, struck by lightning and immediately went into flames, as you heard from Debbie herself there. Fair play to the neighbours and what have you. But listen, the thing that came from that conversation with Debbie, and it's a familiar story, unfortunately, access to water, fire hydrants. She was told that the and we obviously also rely on the fire service from Northern Ireland. They don't have a map. They arrived at the property and it wasn't clear where the fire hydrant was. Now, I'm not saying that's added to anything here because obviously the fire took hold really, really quickly. But this is the third instant in a short period of time where the emergency services have been hindered by A, not being able to find fire hydrants, or B, not being able to access them. That's something we really need to sort of work on now before the next major incident. Why do the NI Fire Brigade, maybe it was just that unit or maybe it's across the board, why don't they have access to the fire hydrant map down here? Is there a map? And we certainly need to do a new map, a survey of where the fire hydrants are. Are they clear? Are they accessible? Because every second counts in these instances. So I think definitely need to look at that. Back with more after these. Radio. So today will be wet and windy as Storm Jocelyn tracks to the northwest of Ireland. Very strong and gusty southwesterly winds will develop through the day with the strongest winds on coasts. There'll be widespread rain during the morning and afternoon, followed by scattered showers in the evening. So strong winds continuing for a time tonight with very strong and gusty south to west winds, southwest to west winds. They'll ease overnight. Okay, staying in this hour on crime appeals. Luke Ruddy joins me on the programme. Luke, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Just want to reiterate the information. You were the target of a crime and we want anyone out there with any information to help solve it. So this happened Saturday night, Sunday morning. Is that right?
That's right, Greg. So a neighbour actually yesterday came forward and said that she actually seen a van at the road going into the workshop, like, you know, between the hours of 11 p.m. and 11:30. So that was kind of the time frame now that's narrowed down to, if you know what I mean. There was a transit van. There was two men involved. Going by the sounds of, one man went in the van, driver, and then the other man then, he gained entry into the shade. Now, they caused a right bit of damage to the shade at the same time. They broke the front door and they gained entry into the lock and then wrecked that door as well. Once they got into the lock, and then sure, that's where all the tools was. So the right bit of value is worth nearly €1,500 worth gone.
My
Greg.
Word, of course. This is your workshop, by the way. This is in Donross, Coldav. They were determined, weren't they? They had to break down a lot of doors to get in and access this shed.
The war determined, like, and as I say, whatever, like, they've stole €1,500 worth of tools, but there's maybe €500 or €600 worth of damage done to the doors. And then, like, when I went in on Sunday morning, I couldn't believe it. The place was just wrecked. Like, there were fans on the floor, and, like, they've actually broke the fan that pulls out the dust. That's nearly €300. And,
my word.
Oh, it was just a pure wrecking scene, like, you know, and, geez, you just don't need that. Like, not this time of the year, anyway.
No. The Makita Biscuit jointer, green, black in colour, an impact driver, also green, black, batteries, a charger, a Makita toolbox, a green and black drill. If anyone's seen anything or has been offered this property, please contact the Gardaí. I mean, are these the tools of your trade, Luke, or do you just do some handy work for yourself around the place, or what?
And these tools are for my work. Like, I would do kitchens, you know.
Right, okay.
like, as I was saying to the guards, the batteries, the four or five batteries that's gone, well, the pool that's left in the van is pointless to me now because 100%. You need the batteries to, you know, for the rest of them. But no, and like, I haven't even really fully assessed what there could be a lot more smaller things gone. Like, definitely yesterday I did notice there's two boxes of sandpaper gone, like, and there's a couple of clamps. Now, I know they're only minor things, but we've been just so busy trying to get the place secured again, we haven't even really fully assessed what is gone, if
and
you know what I mean.
Everything definitely that's gone has to be replaced indeed. Listen, anyone out there who saw a white transit van acting in a suspicious manner, or actually, in fact, even in the area from the guards give us the time of 45 minutes past midnight, effectively 12:45 and 1:30 a.m. on Saturday night and Sunday morning. This is a man's livelihood here that has been taken, his ability to do his work. And I think we've all an interest in passing on any information we have, Luke, to try and get this stuff back to you. The dream would be to nab them with the gear in the van so it could get back to you and they could get before the courts. But Luke, listen, any information people have, you're encouraging them to get in contact with you, the guards, the guard of confidential line, whichever way it may be.
Definitely. And one other thing I would like to say, Greg, too, yes. Definitely a shade where it's at, and anybody that's been on to me since, like they said, it's not, like, it's local knowledge. There's somebody informing these gangs or whatever that's doing this robbery. If you drop, like, it's off the beaten track, somebody knows something, you know, that kind of way.
That's the thing, Luke, was, you know, when you talked about, you know, when I talked about the stubbornness to get in, you know, obviously you had the shed secured. They must have had some knowledge what was in there, that it was worth the risk to hang about and to go to the effort that they did, which is kind of concerning, an extra level of concern.
It is. So, no, there's definitely somebody out there. And as I say, it's local knowledge, definitely. And, no.
Okay. Luke, listen, hopefully someone has some info. Sorry with everything that you're going through, Luke. That's Luke Ruddy there. The tools of his trade stolen. And any information, please, to the Gardaí. You heard the appeal there directly from the man himself. Okay, 086 60 25,000. That's our WhatsApp and that is our text number. News is on the way.